Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, November 9th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today, we're discussing Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and the future of social commerce. Joining us today is senior analyst Sky Canavas. Welcome back, Sky.
Hi, Sarah. It's great to be back.
Great to have you. And also back with us is principal analyst Jasmine Enberg. Hey, Jasmine.
Hey, it's great to be here.
All right, let's get started with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's headline is a November 2nd story from Reuters titled, eBay's focus on luxury to refurbished goods drives results beat. eBay beat expectations this quarter in Q3 as consumers looking for deals on luxury goods flocked to the site, which expanded luxury categories earlier this year. Sky, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is?
So I think eBay has become something of an e-commerce underdog. You know, it's almost about the same age as Amazon, but their trajectories in e-commerce have been so different over the past two decades. And I think now it's poised for a bit of a comeback here. And I think this is a result of two of the trends that it's capitalizing on. One is that real deal-seeking behavior from consumers who are hit by inflation and looking for lower prices, which they can find on used and refurbished goods on eBay. And the other is the opposite end of the spectrum, consumers who are still spending, the luxury consumers, the super fan collectors, who it's really catering to with its new product offerings, such as authentication services and its eBay Vault, which stores things like trading cards for collectors, so they don't actually have to take possession and move those things around physically.
Jasmine, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is?
So I found this really interesting because I don't regularly follow eBay or secondhand goods, but I have been looking into the latter recently in my research about Facebook Marketplace, because Facebook Marketplace, we're expecting to have a little bit of an uptick in buyers because of inflation, because of all of the economic issues that are happening right now. So it's interesting to see that that same trend is, you know, reflected in other similar types of businesses.
Yeah, sure. We'll jump into this later in the episode. But Jasmine, you wrote recently about Facebook Marketplace driving Facebook's e-commerce sales. I think that's really interesting and really indicative of behavior on the platform. So speaking of Facebook and Facebook Marketplace, let's jump into our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is social commerce on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm going to start with taking our Reimagining Retail time machine back to April 2012. We Are Young by Fun is the top song in the U.S., J.K. Rowling's website Pottermore just launched, and Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook just bought Instagram for what felt like a shocking $1 billion. Jasmine, 10 years out, was Facebook's Instagram acquisition worth it?
I think overall, it's a pretty resounding yes. Instagram has been able to make up for a lot of the problems that Facebook has faced over the past several years. So I'll say it's getting a little bit more challenging to do that right now. But in terms of retail and commerce specifically, I think the answer is a little bit more complicated. Instagram originally brought shopping onto the platform because it noticed that people were already using it as a place for product and brand inspiration, and it wanted to capitalize on that. And the whole premise of shopping for Instagram in the beginning was really to drive more engagement among its users, to aid in brand discovery, you know, that upper funnel behavior, and then to be able to collect more data from those users that it could use then to sell more ads. So it was really a way to boost engagement as well as its ads business. But then a lot of things happened, the pandemic, of course, being one of them. And we saw Instagram really double down on a lot of its commerce features and transform itself into this one-stop shop where you could discover, browse, buy items all within the app. And while there's still a lot of discovery and a lot of purchases happening from Instagram, what we've seen is that a lot of those aren't taking place on Instagram's native tools. So it hasn't been a revenue boon for the company the way that it once thought that it could be. And of course, right now, revenue is what it needs.
Sure. So that breakdown is that, of course, it was a good idea for Facebook to buy Instagram.
Yes.
But in commerce, it's hurting a little bit right now. Sky, anything to add?
I think that Instagram has come such a long way from its origins and where it was 10 years ago when Facebook bought it. My recollection was that back then, Instagram was really still a very social site, very photo sharing oriented. It was kind of indie and artsy, and it's really become a commercial powerhouse, particularly through the advertising tech that Facebook or Meta was able to port from Facebook to Instagram and develop. And the social shopping part, the actual commerce on the app, has been a lot more challenging because that's something that Facebook never developed on the Blue app. And I don't think that has really translated as well to Instagram as well, because they just haven't built the whole shopping commerce ecosystem that would be needed to get the sales on the platform.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the reason, though, that they didn't develop it first on Facebook is because the same behaviors weren't really taking place on Facebook that were on Instagram. And Instagram seemed like the prime platform to test out these new commerce offerings. I think what, you know, Meta and Instagram kind of missed in all of this, though, is in thinking that they could capture those sales themselves and perhaps take a cut of those earnings or of that revenue, is that people don't necessarily want to use a social platform's proprietary tools. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One is that old habits die hard. We have established relationships with retailers already. And then there's a ton of trust issues. I mean, whether or not people actually take action off of them is still up in question, an open question. But, you know, it's clear that the more Facebook is in the news about all of these different privacy scandals, it's going to make consumers a lot more hesitant to use tools where they have to give them more information, especially credit card information.
That's really interesting, though, what you just said about, I guess maybe I'm extrapolating, but like the way Instagram's users' behaviors drove how Meta, then Facebook, decided to like make the app shoppable. I think that's the opposite of what they're trying to do in Horizon Worlds in the metaverse right now. They're really trying to start with the shoppability and hope that the behavior follows. That's quite a tangent, though, that we don't have to get into. So we can skip that for now. I don't know. Is Instagram in trouble?
I mean, yes, it is in trouble. Meta is in trouble overall. I mean, we saw its Q3 earnings and things aren't looking great. And, you know, you talked a little bit about Horizon Worlds and we all fell silent, but it is, you know, Zuckerberg's bet on the metaverse is really hurting its bottom line right now. In terms of commerce specifically, yeah, there's also, you know, an external factor called TikTok that is stealing some of its thunder. And we're seeing that TikTok continues to rise through the ranks and really put pressure on these other platforms in terms of shopping behaviors.
Tell me more about this app called TikTok.
Do you have TikTok now?
We talked about this. So I told Sky and Jasmine that I don't have TikTok because I had TikTok and then I got the coronavirus and I am fine. But what I did during the whole time I had COVID was watch so much TikTok that it should have been illegal. So I deleted the app. I guess some people really do think it should be illegal now. I redownloaded the app the other day and I have not watched any TikToks yet because I'm really scared that I'm going to start watching TikToks nonstop again.
It's a valid concern, but you know, TikTok, and we were talking a little bit about the premise of shopping on Instagram. I would say that the premise of commerce on TikTok is fundamentally different. Commerce has always been the cornerstone of its monetization ambitions from the very beginning, and it's taking a roadmap from China in that. And over the past year, we've seen it really build out its ads business. But I think, you know, it's starting to pivot back to really focusing on what it believes to be, you know, the core of how it monetizes, and that is commerce.
Yeah, Jasmine, you wrote in your social commerce report recently that we expect the number of U.S. TikTok buyers to rise by 72.3% this year. That's so many. Granted, TikTok's really new, so it's starting from a lower entry point. There's more room to grow than on Instagram or Facebook, but that's still a huge increase. Sky, I guess it's a broad question, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on TikTok and how it is posed to take over for Instagram?
Well, I think the Chinese experience has always been part of ByteDance's strategy for TikTok. Mm. You know, TikTok also started out with very different origins, kind of like Instagram. It was Musical.ly, it was a lip syncing app. And then since it was acquired by ByteDance and became TikTok, we initially saw it as an app of teens dancing in their bedrooms. Meanwhile, in China, its counterpart Douyin was turning into a real full-fledged entertainment app. And from there, this took place while a whole social commerce revolution is taking place in China and people are shopping on their mobile phones. And it very quickly leveraged that opportunity to build up an e-commerce ecosystem that includes native shopping, payments, logistics, and fulfillment. And its e-commerce GMV has grown from something like $25 billion in 2019 to an estimated $100 billion last year. And it's poised to maybe increase that by at least 50 to 100% again this year. So that's kind of the Chinese experience. Of course, Chinese consumer behaviors are very different. But what's interesting about TikTok's appeal is that it's particularly been driven by Gen Z's attention. And that's a generation that's still forming its shopping habits and might be more receptive to shopping on their mobile phones and shopping from TikTok and buying things on TikTok, even though they still have to really address those trust issues and privacy issues that are of concern. Mm-hmm.
Sky, you bring up one of my absolute core beliefs, which is that you should never discount the economic power of teens dancing in their bedrooms. I truly believe that. Jasmine, did you have something to add there?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I agree with everything that Sky said. And speaking of origins, you know, social commerce has a completely different origin in China than in the US overall, you know, which is why some of these comparisons that we make between the Chinese and the US experience don't completely stand. But what I really wanted to say was going back to the numbers and going back to our forecast, yes, TikTok is growing from a much smaller base. So that explains a lot of the super strong growth in the number of buyers. But if you actually look at the number of buyers as a percent of platform users, there's never been as rapid growth as what we've seen for TikTok right now. Wow. And in 2023, we are expecting the number of TikTok users who are buyers to be on par with the number of Facebook users who are buyers. And that is a huge milestone.
Yeah. I mean, I guess people are already trained to buy things on social media in a way that they weren't 10 years ago when Instagram was purchased by Facebook. We're running low on time for this first half, so I want to close off with a question that's huge for me. It looks like TikTok is building out fulfillment centers in the US. Why would a social media network want a distribution network? The answer is commerce, but can you tell me more about that?
Sure. So Douyin already operates fulfillment centers in China, and that's really part of developing its broader e-commerce ecosystem. It's really to be able to offer that service to merchants to get products to consumers seamlessly and quickly. And I think a big part of the appeal here is helping Chinese merchants in particular engage in cross-border sales and get their products to consumers in the US who are looking for low-cost items, whether it's because they're on a tight budget or just because they're young teens and they don't have a lot of money to spend. So they're looking for the cheapest items possible. You know, this is like the contributing factor to Shein's huge success in ultra-fast fashion. And that's a company that's also building out fulfillment centers in the US to get products to shoppers more quickly.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense. We can dive more into TikTok and some predictions in the second half. We've talked through Facebook buying Instagram. We've talked through where Instagram's at right now. We've talked through We Are Young by Fun being the biggest song in 2012. So we're going to go to break, but I'll meet you right back here in a minute. E-marketers, attention! Trends and predictions for 2023 Summit will deliver the biggest trends shaping the coming year to prepare decision makers in advertising, marketing, and media to win in an uncertain environment. Join eMarketer on December 9th for a free virtual summit featuring a half day of analyst research and forecasts. Topics we'll tackle include the impact of Gen Z on marketing, the rise of social commerce and retail media networks, the booming CTV opportunity, and how TikTok is changing the game. Capturing the attention of your customers in 2023 requires a new approach. Register today to learn how to create one. Check the show notes for more info. Welcome back from the break. It's time for our segment, Red Hot Retail. This is our guests' opportunity to give us their very specific and potentially risky predictions on a topic. The predictions can be mild, medium, spicy, or extra hot. The higher the spice level, the riskier the prediction. Our guests will tell me what spice level to expect and then share the prediction. Today, Sky and Jasmine are sharing 4 predictions for the future of TikTok's US retail strategy. Jasmine, do you want to kick it off with giving me a spice level and a prediction?
Sure. I'd say the spice level of this one is pretty mild, but I think that TikTok will launch its live streaming arm in the US. There has been a lot of back and forth on this. We've had some news outlets reporting that TikTok is walking back on plans to launch live streaming. TikTok has, you know, said that those reports aren't correct. And I believe that the live stream arm is coming and it could be launched as, you know, soon as next year.
Yeah, I don't see any reason for TikTok not to do this. I know there have been reports that they're walking it back, but I just don't see why they wouldn't do this, even if it's not built out yet. Like, live streaming was huge on Facebook for a while, so why would TikTok not want it? And it's huge on TikTok in other parts of the world.
I mean, live streaming is huge in general. I think the trouble has been incorporating the commerce element into it in the US. But if any platform is able to make it work, I think it's going to be TikTok. So I see no reason for them not to try.
Will we, 10 years out, see a LuLaRoe-style documentary about some sort of TikTok live stream pyramid scheme?
I think that's very likely. I think there are already so many other TikTok pyramid schemes and, you know, ways to get rich quickly being promoted on TikTok that I'm sure live streaming could be a part of that too.
If you know how to get rich quickly on TikTok, feel free to reach out to me. Reach out to the podcasting team. Next prediction. I agree that last one was mild. Seems like it's going to happen. Sky, what is our next spice level and next prediction?
So this one, I think, is medium spicy. Oof. We've already talked about it a little, but it's that TikTok will start launching fulfillment centers in the US. And this has been reported because TikTok had a number of job listings in Seattle where it was looking for fulfillment experts to help build out its network right in Amazon's backyard. So some of the headlines were around TikTok is going to take on Amazon with fulfillment services. I don't see it quite getting to that level, given Amazon's stature in e-commerce in the US. But I think, as I mentioned, this can be geared towards helping Chinese merchants reach US consumers, particularly those who are not able to sell on Amazon or looking beyond Amazon. A number of those merchants are already looking at other platforms like Walmart, AliExpress. And I also think this could also help small business owners in the US who are looking to expand, you know, their sales channels and don't have really many options. Even Amazon might be beyond them, or, you know, platforms like Shopify might be beyond what they do.
It's a really interesting point. There's definitely more opportunity to get your small business recognized on TikTok than there is on Amazon.
Yeah.
I know this is something that, like, we've seen in China before. Has a social network in the US done this before? Is there anything analogous to this?
I cannot think of one. I mean, we have like Shopify, you know, is building fulfillment centers. We have other like retailers building out their fulfillment capabilities, but those are already either already have fulfillment services that they work with, like Gap and American Eagle, that they're offering to third parties. Walmart is another big one. Or we have Shopify that is investing and also acquiring fulfillment operators in order to meet those needs for merchants.
Yeah, but no Facebook warehouse.
No.
Well,
no,
that's Facebook not true either now that they sell right. Headsets, but I agree. This is medium. If you told me this 2 months ago, I would have told you it was spicy, but it seems like it's going to happen now. So sort of a safer bet at this point. Okay, Jasmine, can you give me a spice level and a prediction?
So I think this one is spicy, but let me know if you disagree. A lot of people are comparing TikTok to Amazon and how TikTok might be rivaling it. But I think the next target and who has the most to lose right now is Google. And hear me out. There is a lot of research, including internal Google research, that shows that young people are starting their searches on TikTok or Instagram rather than on Google, or a large number of young people are. And while it's not necessarily a product search that they're starting there, now that we're seeing that both of these platforms, TikTok in particular, are really growing their commerce businesses, they're really popular for shopping already, there is no reason why they wouldn't be searching for products on TikTok. And then there's no reason why TikTok wouldn't start to capitalize on that behavior with search ads.
Yeah, I'm cheating a bit because I wrote about this earlier today, but there's a Jungle Scout report that says that 11% of US consumers start their search on TikTok. That's compared to 49% on a search engine. So obviously, like, Google's winning. But yeah, I mean, that's a huge number of people starting their search on TikTok.
Yeah, and that's kind of come out of nowhere if they're looking mm-hmm. for searching for products, or they want to see a product and somebody using it, or they're searching for like restaurants, restaurant reviews, recipes, mm-hmm. all sorts of things that you can find now on TikTok because there's just so much content being created for the site.
Sure. I think like a year ago, I would have told you that one of TikTok's flaws is that its search functionality is bad since it's videos and like was hard to find videos, and suddenly their search functionality is really impressive.
Mm-hmm. And I think something that Sky said before is spot on, and that is that, you know, these trends are being driven by, you know, young people whose habits aren't fully formed yet. And the way that they use search is so different from the way that older generations have used search. They want something that's more interactive, more entertaining, and that's what TikTok offers. And it makes sense that they'd be the ones who turn there to start their searches and do research.
Sure. Yeah. Like a Gen Z person who wants a pair of pink cowboy boots and doesn't want to start by Googling pink cowboy boots
right.
might check TikTok to see what people on TikTok are wearing in terms of pink cowboy boots.
Right. Well, I've been using Google to search for more than 2 decades, so the chances of me changing that habit are much smaller. Although I do like looking for recipes and foods on TikTok.
What does that look like for you? Like, you buy eggplant at the store and you're like, what should I do with this? You search eggplant recipe on TikTok?
I search food talk and see what's trending, or I search the hashtags for trending recipes and foods because I want to see how people are making things. I don't want to see things that are like too out there. I want things that are kind of accessible and quick. And it's half entertainment, half education.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of TikTok yeah. is education factor. We don't have time to get into that right now, but there definitely is like the discovery element.
Yeah.
That's the whole nature of the app, right? We are running low on time. So Sky, bring it home with our fourth prediction and tell me its spice level first.
Sure. This one is pretty spicy, but there is a little bit of background or history to it. And this is that ByteDance has invested in a lot of consumer brands and categories. And one area that has rolled out in Europe is apparel. So it has a fashion brand right now that is available in Western Europe, and it's called If You. It has 3 O's in the U, so If You. And that's that it's going to bring this brand to the US and try to rival Shein and Amazon with really low-cost products. You know, it would be very easy to promote them on TikTok or get them in front of users just based on like their interests. And this ties into ByteDance's bigger strategy that it's kind of rolled out with Douyin in China of like interest-based e-commerce, where the app knows you so well, it knows your interests so well that it can then serve you the products you're interested in and the brands and their shops all in the app. And so that's part of the big building out the ecosystem.
Just to clarify, ByteDance is TikTok's parent company, Douyin, the sister app in China. Jasmine, do you think that ByteDance is going to roll out a fashion brand in the US?
Oof, it's a good question. It's possible.
That's how I feel. I think that you could say anything about TikTok to me and I would say, it's possible. Is TikTok going to become an airline? It's possible. Well, that is all we have time for today. Thank you for joining me, Jasmine.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, Sky.
Thanks again, Sarah.
Please give us a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram @behindthenumbers_podcast. Thank you, listeners, and to Victoria, who edits the podcast and is considering acquiring Instagram herself. We will be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail and eMarketer Podcast. And you can tune in tomorrow as Marcus brings you another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily. Never doubt the economic power of teens dancing in their bedrooms. Bye.